Outside, the air laced with a tonality of pollution not New York's and faintly muggy, Brown got them quickly into a cab, driven by a Thai with yellow shooting glasses, and out of there, into that street plan that Milgram had never been able to grasp at all. Circles, radial avenues, Masonic complexities. But Brown had given the driver an address on N Street, and Milgram did remember that, that other alphabet city. So different. He had spent 3 weeks here, once, in the salad days of the first Clinton administration, as part of a team translating Russian trade reports for a firm of lobbyists. At some point, they turned off a busy shopping street full of mall brands and into a suddenly quieter neighborhood, entirely residential, of smaller, older houses. In the federal style, Milgram remembered, and also that this must be Georgetown, recalled from a style seminar conducted in a townhouse, not unlike these they were passing, but grander, with a walled rear garden in which Milgram, having slipped out for a joint, had discovered an enormous tortoise and an even larger rabbit, the resident's pets, he'd supposed, but remembered now as in some magical moment of childhood. Milgram's actual childhood had been short on magical moments, he reflected, so perhaps he'd shifted this encounter back, along the subjective timeline, to compensate for that. But definitely, this was Georgetown. These narrow facades of mellow brick, black-painted wooden shutters, the sense that Martha Stewart and Ralph Lauren would have been hard at work on interiors, together at last, sheathing inherently superior surfaces under hand-rubbed coats of golden beeswax. Their cab came to a sudden halt, the driver's acrid yellow glasses turning to Brown. "You here?" he asked. "Probably," Milgram replied silently, as Brown passed the man a few folded bills and ordered Milgram out. Milgram's shoes slipped on bricks worn cornerless with years. He followed Brown up three high granite steps cupped by centuries of feet. The black-painted door, beneath a simple fanlight, was decorated with a federal eagle in recently polished brass, so old that it resembled no eagle Milgram had ever seen, but some creature out of more ancient mythology, perhaps a phoenix. Cast, Milgram guessed, by artisans who'd never seen an eagle, only some engraving of one. Brown's attention was entirely taken up now with a keypad of brushed stainless set into the jamb, on which he was entering a code he copied from a slip of blue paper. Milgram looked up the street and saw expensively old-fashioned streetlights wink on. Somewhere up the block, a very large dog was barking. As Brown completed his sequence, the door made a startling, concise, mechanical sound as it unlocked itself. "In," Brown ordered. Milgram grasped the curved brass handle, depressed the thumb piece, and pushed. The door swung silently open. He stepped in, knowing immediately that the house was empty. He saw a long brass plate set with reproduction antique light switches. He pressed the one nearest the door, his finger covering the round dot of mother-of-pearl. A bowl of creamy glass lit above them, its rim held in flowered bronze. He looked down. Polished gray marble. He heard Brown close the door behind him, its lock making that sound again. Brown pressed more of the buttons on the brass plate, illuminating further reaches. He hadn't been too far off about Martha and Ralph, Milgram saw, though the furniture wasn't real. It was like the furniture in the lobby of a more traditionally minded Four Seasons. "Nice," Milgram heard himself say. Brown turned on the ball of one foot, staring. "Sorry," Milgram said.